right now you're feeling a bit like Alice, tumbling down the rabbit hole? This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Deeper Down the Rabbit Hole, now live, Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on the Para-X Radio Network.
Good evening, folks. Happy All Hallows Eve. Thank you for joining us tonight live. You're in for a special treat, as I'm going to unleash the full power of magic by first summoning Satan and then leading you all in a blood pact to accept you into the fold. Psych. I'm here tonight with Zach Louie. How you doing tonight, Zach?
I'm doing great, Jason. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Just wanted to troll on everybody a little bit tonight. Hey, we got some announcements for you before we get going tonight. I wanted to remind everyone that you need to get over to AndreaVenomous.com/shapeshift if you want to take part in this cycle of the shapeshifting course, which will be ending around December 5th. And also, there's the Cleveland Conjure series. You can get more info. Go to AndreaVenomous.com also. And, or you can Google Cleveland Conjure and you will get info through the website for Spirit Apothecary in Bedford and get registered and get ready to go on that also, because that, there's another class in that series coming up this coming Saturday. Zach has more information for you on the current DoMagic.com, the Do Magic Challenge. What's going on this time, Zach?
Well, we're going to be jumping into the research project tomorrow, so you got a month of researching meditative acts. Meditative acts can just be about anything you want. It could be working with spirits, it could be washing the dishes, it could be even going into what we're talking about tonight, which is Zhenzhuang, or standing Qigong postures. But essentially, an act of meditation where you're fully absorbed into that practice and no distraction. So you can go to Do Magic with a K and check out all the information on the challenge coming up very soon. And we start December 1st. And just remember, you don't have to post on sharing the challenge that you're doing every day, but we do need you to post every day in your Tumblr or your blog post.
Well, Zach, is there anything that I'm forgetting? Anything else that you want to tell people that you're doing?
Anything I'm doing? Well, if people are interested, they'll have my email as usual through Deeper Down, but I am talking and looking into putting up a Reiki course online, full lifetime access of getting the practice of Reiki into a real practical sense of how do you actually do Reiki work and put teeth into it as they would in Japan. So not only just being able to do the feeling good type of Reiki, but actually
you get to Reiki into people with your teeth?
No. putting the magic back into Reiki, essentially. So how to really give it a good punch in that. And, you know, talking about all the various topics within Taoism, Tendai Buddhism, Shinto, martial arts, and how all that relates into Reiki. So if you're interested in that, give me an email, and we'll discuss about that course and its pricing. So let's get into our topic with introducing our new interviewee, Mark Culhane. So, Mark's been in traditional Chinese medicine for quite a while, and he's done martial arts, particularly Tai Chi, and some other internal martial arts such as Xing Yi. His book that he's written called Inside Zhen Zhuang is been around for quite a few years, and he really has specialized and focused on many different topics that you don't really hear much about in various circles. So they'll talk about things like master points on the body and how to relax and release large sections of the body, rapidly creating whole body linkages through any posture, and how to actually work with energy centers in the body, or the Dantians. So he's really specialized in this for a few years. So how are you doing tonight, Mark?
Very good. Very good. Thank you.
So, Jason, let's start off with you. Do you have any questions for Mr. Cohen tonight?
Well, we need to get into the nitty-gritty of really the medicine that you're performing, the acts of healing. Let's talk about that, because I think that we live in a time when people really need to understand how this could be beneficial to them.
I understand. Well, the most important thing to know about Zhang Zhuang is that it is a method of self-healing. It is also a method to develop internal power and improve many, many things. There's over 600 muscles in the body, all told, roughly. And Zhang Zhuang, or standing meditation, or standing like a tree, is the only one that actually exercises all of them simultaneously. And where I heard this is very interesting. I've always known this myself, but there was an interview very recently on YouTube with a Shaolin Buddhist abbot, and he brought this up as actually standing meditation is part of the Shaolin training, the internal training, and has always been.
Yes. I mean, it's funny that you brought up the Shaolin abbot, because that video that you posted, I've seen it before, but I've done Shaolin training, and it was 2 hours of Zhen Zhuang before we even got into the Kung Fu.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah, I mean, it was kind of torturous when I was a child on that. Abbot would come around, let me breathe in some incense, and then I'd be sweating and shaking, and he's like, okay, great, it's been 2 hours, everyone, now let's get into the Kung Fu side of things. So,
now we're going to spar for an hour.
That's basically how it went down, after you're exhausted.
Wow. Well,
meditation is really an important part of all these internal martial arts. I was fortunate to study Kwarangdo under Grandmaster Jubang Li, and his chief instructor, and meditation was, just like you're talking about, part of the thing, but they didn't go quite that overboard with it. But the idea of the difference between sitting meditation in the average form and standing meditation is this, that standing meditation has the added ability, along with everything else that the sitting does, to help make the body healthy and strong. And it does so through a very un-Western method. And when I say that, I mean that with Western method, we think we need a lot of effort. The more, no pain, no gain. You know, the more effort you do, the better it gets. And yes, this is true with everything, but with standing meditation, we want to, in a sense, learn to do nothing, to relax, to let go, to understand and investigate the nature of relaxation. When the body gets relaxed to a certain point, various internal energies begin to arise and manifest. And the amazing thing about standing meditation versus the traditional forms, for instance, of Taoist alchemy, where there's, you know, an infinite number of procedures and you really need to have a teacher there all the time, because if you do it wrong, it can become very insidious and later you have big problems. But with standing, these procedures happen naturally as the body is able to accept it. And you're able to release blockages, and as things release, they begin to connect. So this connection begins, we start with the three Dantians, the low Dantian, the area what they call elixir fields in the lower abdomen, below the navel, inside the body, really mostly toward the middle and the back. There's a misunderstanding about the low dantian, which might I can clear up now. And that is that, yes, when we find our low dantian, we put our hand, four fingers or three fingers below our navel, and then a couple of inches inside the body. But this is actually only the starting point of the low dantian. The low dantian actually manifests all the way through the body to just inside the lumbar vertebra. In other words, the inside tissue is connected. So in the traditional Taoist alchemy, they work with the center and then the low dantian, but they would divide if they divided from your belly to your back into 10 places, coming from the belly to the back, counting back 7, would put it behind your center line and in front of these lumbar vertebrae, which are 2 to 3 inches of width for each of us, some larger than others.
Great.
So this low dantian gives us two things. This is the body's power center, and also it's the body's healing center. So with standing meditation, we want to, in a sense, get out of our own way, out of our own thoughts and things like that, and own opinions and also desires. With this type of meditation, you want to be at the point where you feel above you is the heavens or gravity coming down on you, and below is the earth energy rising up, keeping us upright. And we are man or woman in between, and we're exactly where we're supposed to be. And at that point, eventually, this descending heavenly energy will pass through the whole body. And in a physical sense, this is gravity releasing blockages such that the muscles feel like they're hanging from the bone, as if you put a coat on a coat hanger, and the coat hanger is the bone, and the coat is the muscles. And at that point, your circulation increases. And once that happens, a whole bunch of good things begin to occur in the body. Mainly, one of my teachers once told me, wherever you can feel, there is the chi. So what that means is a place we can't feel, this is where places where things could get disrupted, or maybe already are. So as we work with standing meditation, it has another effect besides the physical effect, and that effect is the expansion of consciousness. And let me explain. In the book, there's the three circles of consciousness. What we can feel, our feeling awareness, what we can just barely feel on the periphery of that feeling awareness, and then what all the stuff that whatever is beyond that we really, really can't feel that's in the subconscious. Well, what happens day after day after day of daily practice of standing meditation is what was on the periphery all of a sudden comes into bright focus as if there was a big magnifying glass and a light shone upon it. And an element of the things that were beyond our kinesthetic sense come into the peripheral region. So it's more and more and more you're able to take things in from the subconscious and work them through the body. Another one of my teachers once told me that when you practice the correct lineage way, whether it be standing meditation, Tai Chi, any of these sort of things, it takes about 3 years, if done correctly, to work through most of the karma in your body. So the idea of this is to be able to release blockages, which will instill connection, and then there are conscious ways of connecting things too. Okay, so the two ways of this is really simple. The most advanced way and the most basic way is to find your center. We say find your center. The simplest way, put your palm on your navel area a little below and your hand on the mirror point in the back. And then track halfway in with your feeling awareness to roughly where you feel is it halfway between the two. And this is your center. And you hold your feeling awareness there without trying to create any other result. And by not trying to create something consciously, things begin to manifest such that you know that they're real because you didn't try to create them or imagine them. And then later, I'll finish and you can comment. But then later, what will happen is you will say it was a martial technique or a type of energy movement, how to do it. You read about it in the classics, the Tai Chi classics in this, but it doesn't say how to do it. Then all of a sudden this energy manifests in your body and you practice it with your partners or students or other people, and all of a sudden, lo and behold, you realize it's real. So these are what I call in the book quantum leaps, where you start out at one place, and by the end of that particular session, you have opened your consciousness in a kind of a startling and very, very expansive way. Okay?
Right. So, I mean, the standing postures, having gone through the book, you mentioned it a bit, but for the audience, what got you started into the Zhen Zhuang?
Say again, you want me, what, the basic posture?
No, what got you started in the Zhen Zhuang?
Injury. Mm-hmm. Injury. In the training of special forces and other martial arts stuff. I got pretty badly injured in a couple places, and so all of a sudden I couldn't do jump spinning kicks and stuff like that anymore. And I had to find something else that would help to heal it. Well, of course, I got acupuncture for what I needed from my teacher, which was very, very fortunate. And but I didn't really get the full healing until I began to work with the standing meditation. And at first, let's not pull any punches with this, at first, especially if you've had injuries, it can be quite demanding on you, such mm-hmm. that you want to give up and say, it's enough, what am I doing? But if you can work with it, meaning work with your mind to let go and relax and allow yourself, allow the body, in a sense, to move you, to have you relax things, then gradually, step by step, these things begin to disappear, these problems. And lo and behold, 90 days later, usually at the beginning, it takes about 90 days. One of my teachers once said, if you give me 90 days, 40 minutes a day, he was talking about health, or an hour a day for martial arts. He says, before 90 days is done, you'll know why you do this. And he's very, very right, because certain things happen in the body, and eventually you become more relaxed in the standing meditation than any other time, except perhaps if you're, you know, laying on a settee, or mostly like you're laying on a bed. You can become that relaxed. And yet, relaxed is not limp. This needs to be emphasized, because if we go limp, if we relax all of our muscles completely, we fall down.
Right.
So there has to be a dynamic tension. And that's really important to realize. Now, what's important to also realize is that we want to work with the descending energy. The Taoists call it heavenly energy, but scientifically, let's call it gravity. And we want to be able to release any tension that we feel, starting at the top of the head, at Bai Wei Point, the crown, and actually above the crown, technically, in the Taoist tradition, because I'm working with both the Taoist tradition and standing meditation, and also Yichuan, okay, the method of Wang Zhong Jai. So, mm-hmm. both those are in there. You know, Wang's method is, you know, for martial arts, but also for health. But the Taoist method has a lot of other elements in it as well, which we touch on in the book a little bit. Okay? So that's what led me to do it, was some pretty bad injuries. Okay? And that after, even with good acupuncture and everything healing up right, it still wasn't completely healed. These were like a bucket handle tear of the medial meniscus. I don't know mm-hmm. if you know what that is. It's yep. bad. It's bad news, let me tell you. It was almost a complete dislocation, okay, put it that way. And I've come back from that. Yeah, well, we were giving a demonstration at Camp Pendleton. I jumped up and broke two boards, one with each foot. But when I landed, my foot caught on a root, and the rest of my body kept going, and that knee didn't. So that's the story of that. But that took many years to heal. But with the standing meditation, eventually, it became such that I could work with jin, you know, and take pressure in the body in all these places that I never could before, since it had been injured. So a real healing is possible with these things. As I say, though, you've got to be prepared for a certain amount of Spartan activity, we should say, that you're going to just, you know, have to tough it out a little bit. Now, sometimes this is almost impossible because of how severe the injury is, in which case you need to learn how to make micro movements in the body. These are not movements that you see, you know, in sports or in martial arts. These are very, very small movements that are really not that visible on the exterior. They're happening kind of, you might say, under the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And these movements under the skin are actually the key to the real Tai Chi Chuan and all these internal arts, is what's going on under the skin. Now, the other thing is that with standing meditation, it is really, really beneficial to those who practice the internal martial arts. Huarang Do, what I was speaking of before, that's both an external and internal martial arts situation there.
Right.
And these people had a tremendous, as they called it, Korean, of course, ki power, but it was pretty awesome. So back to our subject, though, for the standing. When mm-hmm. you're standing like that, you asked about the ability to connect. Eventually, I talk about this in the book. We talk about hardwiring. And I'll give you a real simple example of that. Let's say you're standing in a posture, and maybe you're holding the ball or embracing the tree, or your arms could just be hanging at their sides. It doesn't matter, Wuji posture. And you're breathing in, you're breathing out, and you just begin to let go. You tell yourself, I've got nothing to prove, I've got nothing to achieve. All I have to do is relax. And you feel this breathing in and out of the belly. And then you realize that other parts of the body are also breathing right along with it. Let's say your chest. Okay? So what we do with hardwiring is we begin to connect each piece of the body into this lower power center, this physical power center, this power center of healing. Now, my late great acupuncture teacher and mentor has one thing to say about this. She said, the body wants to heal itself. And that's kind of the whole premise of acupuncture and Chinese medicine. And it's also, if you think of it as an extended arm, because Qigong, as well as diet and herbs, are all part of the Chinese medicine. So whether it be standing meditation or walking meditation or Qigong or Tai Chi Chuan or any of these, they're all participating. So what do? Here's the ABC of it. You're breathing in and out from your belly. And let's say, work with your upper back instead now. And we will feel that we want to inhale into our belly and feel our upper back expand as well, back and forth. We bring our feeling awareness from our belly to our back and then back down to the belly, like that, and going until, when we just think about the belly, the back is also coming along with the breath. Then we begin to add the shoulders, breathing in and out with the shoulders to the belly, the elbows to the belly, the wrists, the palms, and etc., through the whole body, so that eventually, when you take a breath, it is like a big, like you might say, a big round ball or sphere expanding in all directions. In other words, all the cells become active, right? And the cells have three ways of acting, and you know, science has documented this. They can expand, they can contract, or they can freeze. And believe it or not, this ability to freeze the cells is what allows people that with a very, very, very high level where you see almost no or no movement to discharge people 10, 20 feet away. Is the ability to make the cells freeze, and that what that does is create a shock wave in the body, which goes out to the other person once you know how to do it. But at any rate, so the idea of connecting the body manually through each part. Let's take your palms. If you have your palms and you're holding up your hands in front of you, and your belly is breathing, you feel your palms expand and close. And you actually help it by opening up your fingers a little bit, kind of to teach it, you see. And then later you would do that with each piece of the body. Then you would begin to work with what they call the six harmonies. Shoulders and hips, elbows and knees, ankles and wrists, or hands and feet, like that. And so that when your belly opens, not only does your hips open, but your shoulders open too. And then later, not only does your hips and shoulders open, but your elbows and knees open and stretch and expand. And then finally the wrist and hand. And so eventually all the way up the spine to the top of the head. And so what you have here is that you are setting up the conditions for the body to help heal itself.
So in the body healing itself through these Zhendrong postures, we've talked about your experience of like healing the knee, but with your clients and students, what's the most extreme case or most wonderful case you've seen where something from the Zhendrong postures has healed something that may have not happened through acupuncture or other medical means?
Okay, I got to think about that. Yeah. Okay, right, okay. Here's the one thing. The person had a bad scoliosis in the lumbar region. You know, bad, you know, like an S-curve, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And after a particular session, almost all of that just popped back into place. It wasn't perfect, but it was like unbelievably different. Instead of a big S-curve, it was just like a narrow little wave going down.
Yeah. Wow. And people born with that condition tend to go through years and years, like a lifetime of physical therapy just to maintain.
Right.
That's a pretty big accomplishment.
Right. Well, the person started out, now when the things are really bad, sometimes it's hard for them to stand very long so that they can do it. They do it sitting. But you sit in a different posture. It's not a posture that you're sitting back in the chair like you're watching TV, or nor is it like you're crossing your legs lotus style. But rather the Taoist posture is you sit toward the edge of the chair, you make your feet parallel, and then you want to connect your body. So how would you do that if you're doing it right now? Then you press your feet into the ground and put your hands on your knees. You feel the muscles of the knees tense a little bit. Then put your hands on the top of your thighs behind your knee and push them back. You'll feel everything go back up in towards your buttocks and your belly. And then you can raise your hand and stretch them overhead until you feel like it tugs the low lumbar, the sacrum. And then keep your back erect and just lower your hands and place them in your lap or whatever meditation position you choose. And then you begin to do this. You begin to do the Taoist meditation. This is a Taoist sitting meditation, although they do have the lotus method as well for more advanced. Okay?
Wow. So I need to ask you a question about the torn meniscus you had. Did you have any surgical aid, or was this completely healed simply through these exercises?
I did. Because what was happening is I was thinking I could still do all these things I could do before, and the thing would give out, and fortunately being trained in Kwadong Do, I could fall really good. So I didn't have any problem falling and being okay. But the leg would give out. And what the doctors called it is sublocked. So this is back in 1983 or 4 or something like that, way back. And so the arthroscopic surgery was just kind of more at the beginning than it is now. So but I had arthroscopic surgery on that, and they cleaned it up, but they didn't try to tie it up or do what they would do for like an NFL football player where they take a different piece of tissue and actually connect it all back up again. So
right.
What happened was after it healed, I used lineage methods of Tai Chi, opening and closing of the joints, Kai and He, and various things like that to strengthen it. And then you use some things in the gym, too, because you can strengthen surrounding muscles. That can only help you so much, but it can help. And then, you do the standing, and you begin to work with letting go. And a lot of times, so what will happen in the stand, and this is probably important because in the book we talk about the various sensations that you can experience. One of them is shaking, okay? And shaking can have two basic components, actually three, but two that we're going to talk about. The first form is muscular, and this is like little twitches and shakes. And they would say that the spleen chi is active when you're feeling these twitches. Then you would have a more violent kind of a shake, up and down shake. It's more uncontrolled, violent shake. And this has to do with tendons or ligaments. And one thing, here's one thing that is really true. Because what happened with my meniscus was also I had a really elongated anterior cruciate ligament, such that they couldn't even see it in the MRI. They only saw it when they actually went in. So what happened is the shaking can begin to either stretch or also help to condense a tendon that's been overstretched. So there's no shortcut. This took many years. Okay, it wasn't quick. But then you have two. I figured I have two choices. One, it's either going to get worse and worse and worse, and then where am I going to be? Or I'll put this time in, and what else do I got to lose? Right, and I'm actually feeling better. So I did it that way.
And let's be honest. Then, what's the path most people go through? Most people are going to deteriorate over time.
Right. Right. Well, that's aging.
Well,
I'm almost 70. Right. So I'm telling you, even with all the best intentions and best things that you do, the parts start to wear down.
Right. Well, we have the natural aging process, but then we also have the fact of people get these sports related injuries and they're never the same again. They're never even close again. So right. To be able to say that you found a methodology that actually strengthened and reconditioned even your tendons.
Yeah.
You know, that's something pretty spectacular right there.
Right, right. But you're right about one thing, and that should be made clear to the audience too, is that once one of these really severe things happens, it never is exactly like it was before the injury. Instead, you create a new normal. And this new normal is quite livable because you're not in pain and you're able to do what you want to do. But it kind of gets there in a new way. But here's the thing. Think about pain and injury. When we're not in pain or injury, we don't have, that part of the body, let's say the knee, doesn't draw any attention to it. We're just doing the rest of our lives. We don't think of our knee. It's only if there's a problem, right? The body tells us, oh, that's sore.
Right.
Or if I move that way, it's odd. See? So that's what's important to know, that this new normal will be like that. Like, oh, I don't feel anything. It feels fine. Let's just go on with whatever we're doing. So it is new. It is return to normal, but it is not exactly the same as if it never had happened. Mm. Okay. Yeah, but that's not a bad thing. It just means that the healing takes a little bit different shape.
Well, we spoke to another practitioner, Zach. You can remind me of the name here, but
there is another martial
Richard. Yeah, and as a martial artist, his career was almost finished by a severe spinal injury, and he used similar techniques to be able to recondition his spine to the fact that his whole career focuses around his ability to be able to teach and use his body, and he's back up and on his feet and doing that again. And a lot of people, this would not be the case.
Oh, most people, it would not be the case, because the standard rehab does not take into account these various factors that the Eastern methods do. The more subtle factors, they're much more, you know, muscular conditioning, you know, conditioning the muscles around the injury, and that's the best we can do.
Mm-hmm. But,
and that's the reason why a lot of the physical therapies don't get you exactly where you want to go with the healing part. But that's why this standing meditation element, and then later you can take it into moving. Once you begin to get what we call a frame, and at first it's an outer frame, which is the bones are aligned correctly, the muscles are relaxed correctly, etc. And then that sets up the deeper things of the organs and the pelvic and the urogenital and the diaphragm, the various diaphragms, so that the body eventually is going to create, through softness and your practice, an organ massage. It's going to massage everything, all the yin, all the basic organ, your lung, your heart, your liver, gallbladder, spleen, pancreas, kidney, intestine, all of it, prostate, ovaries, everything. Okay? So this is part of the ability to work with the nature of finding greater and greater relaxation within the structure.
Hmm. Yeah, that's an important concept that, you know, if we're talking about dendroid, that is a very, very important point. But just in general with martial arts, I find it's not really emphasized, even with Tai Chi. As much as they say, relax, they don't tell you how to relax. And this is where the dendroid postures actually do assist that quite a bit.
Right. They absolutely do. They serve two functions. One, as you mentioned, and the other is that this ability that you get in Zanzhuang, feeling of connectedness and relaxation, you're actually able to transfer that into the moving meditation part, the Tai Chi, or whatever, walking. Usually, and this is where Yixuan is very, very useful, is that after standing, they do oftentimes walking. Mm-hmm. Mo Shao Bu, sliding step, which is that's the traditional Bagua step, where the foot is completely flat. But in Tai Chi, you pick it up and go heel to toe. In Bagua, they have the flat foot or the ball of the foot first. But the idea of walking to begin to transfer this central equilibrium they call Zhongting, the central equilibrium that you have developed through standing, which would be like thinking of coming from like a rod going through the top of your head down all the way through your torso through the perineum to a place equidistant between the 2 feet if they're parallel and roughly hip width, okay? And then you're able to take that feeling and that connectedness and what we call central equilibrium and transfer that as you move forward and back, as you move left and right. The benefit of this is that the circulation, when done properly, even increases more. And with Tai Chi, one of the great benefits of it is, especially if you know how to work the internal parts, the parts that are going under the skin that you don't see, it's not just the posture, for instance, the stretching and spiraling or wrapping of the tissue, the opening and closing of the joints. See, just the idea of the opening and closing of the joints, what it's doing physically, it's you're making the body secrete synovial fluid, which is the fluid in the joints, which makes them springy.
See? Mm.
You see, so that's really important. There's a technique in the book that I show or talk about that, where you put your forearm on the table and you put your hand on up by the elbow and press it down, and then you stretch your fingers all the way out, and then you try to stretch them in a convex way, in a sense, condensing everything back in, creating a tile hand back into the wrist and elbow, and you can get the idea of this. It's in the book. There's a diagram of both a linear stretch and a spiral or a wrapping stretch, wrapping and unwrapping, spiraling and unspiraling. And something should be said about this, because this spiral energy eventually will begin to occur in the body in standing meditation without trying to do it. But it is very, very valuable once that happens, because it is the intrinsic energy that makes up Tai Chi. And it is the combination of yin and yang, right? If we have two symbols, one is a straight line, that's yang, masculine, and we have a circle, and that's yin, feminine. Now, when you combine a circle with a line going forward, you get kind of a spiral drilling effect going out away from you, or if you reverse the spiral, coming back in towards you. And this is where Chen Tai Chi is very strong. They have Wai Shan Shu Jin, which is the outward spiral expansion, as the postures open up, and the Nei Shan Chu Jin, the condensation inward spiraling back into the center of your Lo Dan Tien. So it's often said that without spiral energy, there is no Tai Chi.
Mm-hmm.
So this spiral energy is the optimum blend of yin and yang, of masculine and feminine.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you look at nature. You do not see, nature pretty much abhors straight lines, right? If you look at nature, trees and everything, they're not straight. They're curved. Everything's curved, everything bent. So this is also the preferred energy of nature, the spiral energy.
So let's throw the name of the book out there, since you keep referencing your book, and I want the audience to know what we're talking about so that they can go look it up and hopefully buy a copy.
Well, that's kind. Yes, it's called Inside Zanzhuang. So, and it's available on Amazon. It's on all the major things, iBooks and everything like that. You can get the print copy from Amazon, and then there's the ebook versions as well. Now, if I may, since you're allowing me to do this, I want to say that the book has recently, just recently, in the last couple of weeks, been available as an ebook in Spanish. It's called Dentro de Zanzhuang. It's inside Zanzhuang. And it was translated by a gentleman who is an acupuncturist and a teacher of Tai Chi and Qigong and meditation in Argentina and in Buenos Aires. And it took him a year and a half to do it, and it's quite exceptionally well done translation. And so it's available to all those se habla español, who speak Spanish.
Well, that's excellent to hear.
Yeah. You know, I've had people request the book in French and in German and other thing like that, but then you have to have somebody that is both qualified linguistically but also qualified in the art to make mm-hmm. the translation most assiduous to the reader or listener.
Oh, most definitely, because people do not understand. I don't think the common man understands how complicated translations really are.
Yeah. Yes, sir. I totally agree.
Right. So, I mean, it says you're a seventh generation holder of a certain style of Chinese medicine. Did that influence your views and focus on Zhen Zhuang at all?
It gave me a little bit of a head start. Mm. There's a technique in the book called Around the World Meditation. And it can be done sitting, of course, too. But done in a standing posture, this is actually moving the qi through all the meridians. All the basic meridians, starting and going through a particular order, starting at one place and then going through each of the meridians and feeling it. This type of thing is in the advanced part of the book, because you have to have the ability to feel your dantian all full of energy and warm and vibrating and stuff like that. And then when you do this stuff, you are able to cleanse each of the organs through the meridian system. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is something that's very, very useful, and you wouldn't know about that if you didn't know about how the meridians lay and where they go. So it's a little harder for the average person to do that, because they haven't studied how does the meridians fall along the body and how to trace them out. But that's really you also learn that certain acupuncture points, and you mentioned this now. Yep. For instance, let's take the acupuncture point called Feng Qi, or it's going to be called Yu Jen in Taoist alchemy. And where is it? It is the jade pillow. And it is, if you bring your hand to the back of your head all the way down to where it joins the neck, you'll feel, as what we call in Hawaii, a little puka, a little indentation there. And it's through this point, right at the base of the skull, on the neck, but on the base of the skull, you can feel both the base of the skull and the neck, that all the nerve messages of the entire body pass from the external parts of the body, including the internal organs, into the brain, and that is transmitted back out through the brain. So by getting this area to open, we are facilitating the communication throughout the entire body, through all of the cellular systems. This is an example of a master point that can be used in this way. I don't think I even mentioned it exactly in the book, that one, but there are other ones. For instance, a lot of people have, when they do standing meditation, especially at the beginning, their thighs get really, really sore or tight. Okay? Mm-hmm. Well, there's a point that we call Biguan. I think it's stomach 31, if anybody want to look it up. I think that's it, the name of it. My teacher, I learned because learning Chinese, I learned the Chinese names rather than the
nomenclature.
Right, the way that it's taught in English. I mean, I had to know that too, but it was, yep. You went by the other one because the names have a meaning, see? So at any rate, so here's the point. So if you find your superior iliac crest, which is the hip bone in front, and you draw a line down your thigh a little ways, and then you go from your perineum underneath the body and draw a line from there, and where those two lines intersect on your thigh, just lateral to the gracilis muscle, is a very deep point, between 2 and 3 inches deep in acupuncture. But this point will release the entire thigh, the top part of the front part of the thigh. The back part has a different release point. But the front part of the thigh, there are three vastus muscles. I mean, there's a couple other muscles, too, that connect over on the inside. But the main muscles of the thing are the vastus, the lateralis, medius, and I can't remember the other one, inferior or whatever, but there's three of them, and it will relax them all. So there's various points that we know in acupuncture. If I put the needle in there, and then I check how tight your thigh is, and then if I put the needle in, and then 40 minutes later I check again, your thigh's all relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of knowledge can be applied to certain points. So in other words, if I felt that in my thigh, then I would go to that point, feel into it. So feeling into it this is what, in the book I call it feeling awareness, the ability to feel inside the body. At first, this ability, when we're first starting out, when we're novices, this ability generally, unless you're psychic, it's limited. You can feel a little bit. Oh, I can feel the muscles are tight. Huh? That's about it. Then later, you can kind of feel a little deeper where the muscles connect, right? Where they connect into the tendon, the ligament. And then later, where that connects into the bone, et cetera, and forth. So you're going deeper and deeper and deeper in the skeletal structure until you get into the bone. And then eventually, believe it or not, there are techniques to work with, actually, with the bone marrow. Because it's the bone marrow, then this is really, really important for health. It's in the Buddhist, they have a shi shui xing, I think it's called. And yep. It's marrow washing. And there's techniques to do it. And they have little hitters and different things that they do. But there's a negung practice where the chi is drawn from the exterior, let's say of your forearm, all around it, into the bone and into the center of the bone. And when I first did this correctly, I felt this like hot, burning sensation in the center of the bone for a few moments. And I realized that that was fat being burned out. When a person older age, osteoporosis, they get fat in the bone marrow.
Ooh.
See, so this ability at a higher level in the either Shaolin practices or Taoist practices to actually penetrate into the bone marrow, it will help to stave that off from like that. But more importantly, the bone marrow, by cleansing the bone marrow, what is the bone marrow responsible for? It's responsible for reproducing the template for the red blood cells, amongst other things.
Yes.
So you are correcting and normalizing the template as well when you're able to access the bone marrow. The bone marrow in Taoism would be kind of synonymous also with the brain. In other words, inside the brain, inside the head.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a spot, and you know, it used to be called a secret spot, but now it's not because we talked about it. I know, but they used to call it the secret spot. Anyway, before, because that's when it was old.
I think in the West, when you say secret spot, people are thinking about something completely different.
Yes, they do. Okay. But now imagine two lines, a horizontal line going through your ears from one ear to the other, and then from between your eyes or eyebrows, a vertical line going from the front of your head all the way through to the back of your head. And where those two points, those two lines, that the horizontal line between the ears and the vertical line between the center of the eyes and the back of the head intersect, is what they would call a secret spot in the brain. Okay? Now, we're familiar with the pituitary gland in the back and the pineal gland in the front, but this is not that. This is an actual different spot. And eventually, you've heard of this if you guys have been doing the Tai Chi and everything, they say the head should feel like it's suspended from above, right? Or like lifted from like that. Well, and so most people think, oh, I got to pull my hair up and then like my head can hang from my hair. That's what the feeling is a little bit. But next time you practice, try this. Suspend from the secret spot, from in the center of the brain. Everything drops from there.
Mm.
And into your feet and into your hands, like that. And when that happens, you are actually exercising the upper dantian as well. And that's, if I may add one more thing briefly about the standing meditation. And I didn't know this for years until one day one of my teachers said, "Oh, you've been working with the low dantian, but you know you could also put your attention in the upper dantian." Okay, so the lower dantian, I had been working on it for years. And what had happened for me is, I detailed it in the book, where one day energy just opened and flushed out my central channel out the top of my head and came down like kind of warm rain, as if it just went right back through my body, as if the water feeling could go right through the skin and the bone, like that. So that's what happened to me. But each person will be different. The idea is to be able to relax. So what happens eventually, as things relax and connect, it's like, in a way, it's like a pinball game, where as you get a couple of them going, then it begins to connect to other ones like that as you hit things, until eventually they're like, you hit one and then a whole bunch of them light up. Okay? Well, this is actually kind of what's happening inside the body as things get connected. And when they get connected to that point, as I just described in the little pinball metaphor, what not only does the body have physical things that are happening, relaxation, this and that, but an energetic element surfaces, comes out of, you might say, your subconscious, but it comes into that peripheral and then even oftentimes into the conscious for what we would call a glimpse, where it will last for a little while and go away. But whether it does that, it's still burned into your consciousness forever, and so you never forget it. Mm. And you're able to take this stuff and let it begin to do you. And you're able to use the upper Dantian, the lower Dantian. Eventually, you realize, what happened to me with that experience is all three of those Dantians connected. There's the one below the navel area. There's the one roughly opposite the nipples on the chest in the center of the breastbone. And, of course, the third eye or yin-tang point up on the forehead and behind into that secret spot there. Okay? So eventually, all three of these become active. For health and healing, you want the lower one, because that's the force that will do that healing. But eventually, once all three is connected, you can operate everything from the upper one, and both the middle and the lower one will have effect. So the importance of the difference of energies of these three, and the three of them they call the three treasures, okay, in Taoism, okay, Jing, Qi, and Xin. And so the Jing is, we would call, unaroused sexual energy. It's actually cold energy, and it is the most substantial of the etheric energies. Then the next one up by the chest is Qi, okay? And this is, you might say, all the emotion and everything is there too, the heart, all that. But this is Qi. And so what happened is this Jing, through enough training, transformed into a more subtle substance, Qi, and that Qi eventually, over many years of correct practice, will transform into Shen, into even more subtle energy that is available in the upper Dantian. And one thing that does happen to some people who really get into this training is that they have experiences that would be considered, psychic. They're able to hear at long distances. Some people have out-of-body experience. Or you're able to see at long distances. There's a number of things that have occurred, but these are like gifts, right? Because you're not trying to get them; they just happen to you. So it's a gift as of to your spiritual development, yeah. rather than kind of black magic where you just want to make it happen and you're going to do whatever it takes.
Considering I opened the show today, it's a good analogy.
It is.
I'm going to shut my mouth. That was perfect for that. Thank you.
Well, you did fine, sir. Now, yeah.
If you have more questions.
I guess, considering the psychic aspect of some of these things, because we've talked pretty extensively about the physical aspects, would you say that the psychic giftings, people having second sight or hearing or seeing at long distances, is that something that a practitioner starts to cultivate at will, or is every experience a spontaneous experience?
Yeah, it's spontaneous. This one here, because, okay, so let's be clear. These experiences don't happen to people practicing just for health. You have to practice a lot more hours a day for that to happen. So let me explain. So for health, they say optimum 40 minutes at a time. At a session once a day, that's a great way to begin for health. For martial arts, 50 minutes to an hour or longer. Now, once you really get into it, then you know they do 2 hours at a time. And let me tell you, going from one to two is like pretty crazy, because everything, all the ability that you were able to maintain and get relaxed through that thing all goes away in the second hour. And, you know, until you've done it again and again and again. Anyway, so they might practice 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the evening, something like that. If you could do that, if you have the time in the West to do that and the inclination, then these things begin to occur without you even trying to do anything. And it's different. There's a few other things, too. There's a book, The Complete Book of Yixuan by Master C.S. Tang out of Hong Kong. And there's a chapter in that book, and he lists a number of these psychic things that, people that he's known or masters that have known his master that have known, have had this occur. So yeah, there's some definite references, but it's just spoken of in generally in a general listing rather than in any particular detail, but just to say that these things potentially can happen.
Right.
The main thing, though, there's one other element that you want to, by working with stillness, by letting go of thought, by releasing all emotion, positive and negative, we get into this neutral state, which we are able to affect and be affected. And this neutral state is from which all these higher experiences will eventually come from. And the ability to be in balance, and this balance begins to change the personality. There's a section in the book called The Personality Change or something I've called.
Yep.
But actually, a person of a more severe, you know, a little rough and tumble martial artist fighter guy that, you know, no problem to get in the ring, no problem to do it on the street. After years and years of training like that, all of a sudden they're not like that anymore. And like, what's happened? This guy's gotten all mellow. So it has the potential to change consciousness and even one's personality, to soften and make it more relaxed and meditative and gentle, yet still very, very focused and strong.
So you should definitely let people know, how can they reach you, and are there any public information about how they can get lessons from you in your local area, and any type of public events you're doing to promote the book or any other work you're doing?
Right. Okay. InsideJohnJuang.com. That's there. You can get a hold of me through there. I do Skype sessions with people all around the world, and you can contact me through that or the Facebook page, Mark Cohen, or the Inside John Juang book page on Facebook. Those are the easiest ways to get a hold of me. I have your music coming for the end? Okay. I have a blog, and I'm trying to think of the name of it. But at any rate, there's one on WordPress and one on
YouTube.
The Blogger. Yeah, actually, it's old with Blogger. Let me just get the name of the darn thing so I'm not a complete... here. See what it's called here. Boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom. It's Nine Heaven Qigong with a C-H.
Yeah, right. We spell it C-H-I and then T-U-N-G, which is actually the Harvard translation spelling, which is actually the most closest to the actual Chinese pronunciation rather than American G-O-N-G or the old way, the Wei Giles way, C-H-I-K-U-N-G, Kung, Qi Kung, right? But so it's Qigong, G-U-N-G. Like that, and there's articles on there, and you can reach me through the blog there, or Facebook, or the website.
I'll also get his links put up on our website tomorrow night as well, so you folks will be able to go to ddtrh.com, and on the page for the tonight's show, you'll be able to get all that information and follow the links.
Yes.
Lovely.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us again tonight. If you want to stay on the line, I'm going to let the Illuminous take us on out, and we will talk to you for a couple minutes after the show, sir.
You got it. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
You're welcome.